My name's Christian, for those that don't know it, and it is lovely to have you all with us right now. We are going through, we're motoring through our series on a Sermon on the Mount at the moment. We've called it Devoted, as God goes for the heart, Jesus goes for the heart in these sections in all of this. So we're on to Matthew chapter 6. By this particular point, so first one, we did the Beatitudes. The second one, which was last week, Seku looked at the Matthew, the rest of Matthew 5, in fact, did a fantastic job of that. So we're now moving into Matthew chapter 6, and I'll just read out a portion of scripture which he speaks straight away. Watch out, this comes straight after be perfect, which is what Seku talks about the most. Watch out, don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. See, the Bible appears in all sorts of different places in life, doesn't it? That's an interesting one. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Okay, that's a positive sense. Normally when you hear it in the world, it's a negative sense, but there we go. Give your gifts in private, and your father who sees everything will reward you. Give your gifts in private, is what Jesus says. We'll watch a video then, shall we? And see this in action. If it's going to play.
Just spent 6 hours praying. Feeling pretty holy. Hashtag holier than thou. Hashtag super Christian. Just led 10 people to Jesus. Evangelism is so easy. Hashtag bold. Just donated £100 to charity. I didn't even know what I was doing. They didn't say thank you. Hashtag generous Dan, I guess.
All right, that's how to not do it. Just so you're aware. Anyone who's putting themselves on Instagram telling everybody what they're doing. But thanks to Dan for doing everything on that, doing the filming, the editing and everything there. They're leaving me well behind now. So Jesus addressed the motive of our hearts in doing good rather than anything else. So it's not what you do, it's the way that you do it, apparently, according to a song anyway. And I'm not going to sing it, don't worry, otherwise everyone will leave. But there's a quote that we found recently. I'm losing it here because of all the pieces of paper on it. Stay with me. One thing that separates Christianity from almost every other religion is its laser-like focus on our hearts. Our Creator cares what we do, but mostly he cares how and why we do those things. He's interested in those intentions that are hidden from human eyes. He's after our hearts, which sums up it massively what Jesus is getting to. He's cutting to the heart incredibly in all of his teaching straight away. In fact, the New Testament does there. When I first got saved, I thought it was learning a list of behaviors and then doing those behaviors. Unfortunately, Jesus seems to say it's nothing to do with that. And there's specific questions that that make me think at this point, because if it's not just about our behavior, in fact, if our behavior is just external things, then what is it that drives our behavior? What is it is the underlying forces that drive our choices? Because that's what Jesus wants to get to. He wants to drive right the way down to our hearts, because it will be an inside-out change. And that's what the whole of that section of the Sermon on the Mount especially is looking at, but certainly Matthew 5 as well. He wants to get right to the heart and create that inside-out change, not look just all of these things. Because the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they look good. They did look good. They were good people on the outside. And yet a lot of his teaching was against what they were doing. And the same verses come up repeatedly throughout chapter 6. And I'll just go through bit by bit. Don't do your good deeds to be admired by others. So this is what they were doing. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray public on the street corners and the synagogues where everyone can see them. And when you fast, don't make it obvious so people will admire you for your fasting. Jesus, he noticed in everything that he was looking at there that the religious leaders in particular, which was fascinating, were acting from completely the wrong motives. So although they were wonderful people on the outside to everyone around them, their desire was to impress people. Their desire was to look good. Their desire was to make it look like they had it all together, and they looked that way to everybody. But they were not looking to glorify God in anything that they did. Their actions were for their own attention. Their actions were for others to admire them. For a long time, I wondered what it meant to even glorify God. I kind of thought it was something to do with praise and worship, but it didn't really make much sense to me outside of that setting. But it's a massive concept when you look at what it means to glorify God. And I will try and just give it some kind of focus a little bit, because really this is what it's about. It's about glorifying God in everything we do. This is like the massive part of Christianity. Glorify God in your life. That's what it means to live for God, is to glorify God in everything we do. So very, very briefly, if you can keep up with this, I will look at that. In every word, in every prayer, in every action, we live so that God is praised. We live in such a way that God is the one that looks good. We live in such a way that God is the one that's honored. We live in such a way that God is the one that's thanked. This is very high bar, really, when you look at it. And when we actually also look at the flip side, we get nothing back. We're not looking to get anything back out of the deal. We're looking that God gets everything. We live to draw attention to God in all his majesty, in all his goodness. We live that people are drawn to God. This is what it means to glorify him. We live in such a way that people are, rather than looking at us, they're amazed at God. They're amazed at his mercy. They're amazed at his grace, his goodness, his power. We live effectively to put a smile on God's face. That's what it means. And it's an interesting and yet very, very high bar kind of lifestyle. When I was a teacher, I remember I had a boss, one of my bosses. He was amazed at how patient I could be with some of these very, what's the phrase that teachers always had to say, interesting characters in their classes. And that's the thing. You always knew if a parent's evening, if you use, yes, they're a lively individual. It's just talk, really, for, they don't stop talking. But how is it? I'm sure you never taught at a school like that, man. As far as it went, he kept saying to me, how can you stay so patient? And it left me with a choice. It left me with a choice all the time. Do I take the credit for that and go, yes, well, it's just I am so gifted with patience. But, you know, it also gave me a massive opportunity. It gave me an opportunity to give glory to God in this one and to say, well, actually, this is the work of patience that God's put inside of me, because I wasn't always like this. This is me relying on God's patience, relying on his spirit working within me. And actually, he started to get interested within Christianity because of these stories. There is an opportunity within each one of these. You either take the credit or you give it to God. In every single aspect of our lives, we're given these choices. And we can look good or we can't. So, I mean, you wouldn't do it all the time. I mean, if you're playing football and you score a good goal, you'd be going, oh, glory to God for that one. It doesn't kind of work the same. But you get the points. Yeah, when the things that we're doing, when there's an obvious fruit of the Spirit working in your life, then it's giving glory to God. If living to get the applause means we live trying to be noticed, then living for God means that we live that God is noticed. Amen? Yeah. That's the lifestyle that he's calling us to. And it wasn't what the religious leaders were doing. Their behavior was good, but their heart wasn't. And it's fascinating to look at, because you only look around now and you only even look within our own selves. And there is a need often that we find to feel that we need to impress people. Well, not you guys. You guys never need to impress people, do you? You're amazing. It's just me. But you get the idea, okay? Sometimes when we're feeling low, sometimes when we're feeling a little bit empty, we can try and fill that emptiness with a need to impress others. Yep. No? Okay, it's me. Just go with me again. I can't afford counseling, so we'll just have to do this. We have to go in such a way that there is an option. You can see, glorify God. But if you're empty, if you're on the empty on the inside, it's really hard to do that. So we can seek temporary happiness from impressing other people. It's true. Some of you are looking doubtful, but you can get some temporary happiness from other people's praise, from other people's applause. That will give you a kick. And it says it in the Bible, if you didn't know. Matthew 6, again, we'll go back to it. Don't do your good deeds to be admired by others as the hypocrites do. They have received all the reward they will ever get. Jesus mentions it. There's a reward, interestingly, a temporary one, but a reward for actually getting the applause of people. All right? You get it. All right? It happens. It gives us a kick. It gives us a temporary high. And you'd be lying if you said it didn't, if someone came up to you that you valued and kept on saying, oh, that was amazing, really, really well done. Yeah, you feel pretty good about yourself. Yeah, it gives you a little bit of a kick. And it's the reward that Jesus is talking about. But it is like filling an empty bucket which leaks all the time. So if we kind of try to do that, we'll end up lasting for a bit, but then only after a while we'll need more admiration. We'll need more applause. We'll need more accolades. We'll need more and more because the thirst is never quenched if all you ever want is to be applauded by people. Make sense? Yep. The actor Jim Carrey gave the following speech at an award ceremony. I'd put it on, but we'd get kicked off the YouTube. So I will read it out. This is what he said. He said it in jest, but he also said it with truth as well. There's a lot of this he meant. So listen closely. I'm 2-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey. When I go to sleep at night, I'm not just a guy going to sleep. I'm 2-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey, going to get some well-needed shut-eye. And when I dream, I don't dream any old dream. No, sir. I dream of being 3-time Golden Globe winning actor Jim Carrey, because then I would be enough. It would finally be true. And I can stop this terrible search for what I know won't ultimately fulfill me. And so he said it. Everyone laughed, and at the same time, everyone knew it was real. Because it doesn't, does it? Yeah, it makes you feel great for a minute, and then it doesn't take long before it. So motives are really difficult to work out because it's all what's going on in our hearts. It's not what's our behavior. All right, so our behavior is really easy to see. You're either doing right, doing wrong. What's going on in the heart and what's our motives of the heart are very, very different a lot of the time. And so we need to try and delve down. So I've got you some questions. Buckle in. Don't leave the room just yet. Someone's already walked out. I'm going to try and keep the rest of you in. Anyone who wants, Paul's off. Paul, before you go, thank you for the weekend away for the kids. They absolutely loved it. Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, anyone else want to leave? This is where you can. Right then. So, these are some questions. They help you to understand your own motives. They help you to understand why you think the way you think or why we act the way we act. So, here we go. If no one ever knows what I am doing, giving, serving, would I still do it? If there was no visible payoff for doing this, would I still do it? Would I joyfully take a lesser position if God asked me to? Am I doing this for the praise of others or for how it makes me feel? Both of those are not really what you should be doing, by the way. If I had to suffer for continuing what God has called me to do, would I continue? He's nice, isn't it? These, I didn't get these, they're not my questions. If those whom I am serving never show gratitude or repay me in any way, will I still do it? Anyone want to leave now? Do I judge my success or failure based upon my faithfulness to what God has asked me to do, or how I compare with others? God's measure of success, before we go any further, is faithfulness. Yeah, that's what he asks for. That's all he asks for in all throughout the Bible. He asks us that we are faithful to him, we're faithful in obedience. That's what he asks for. He doesn't ask us to be this incredible rock star person who does all of these amazing things. Just be faithful to what he's asked you to do. But the more we seek satisfaction in the approval of others, the more we will find misery, unfortunately, the less joy that we will have. Or the more annoyed you will get with ungrateful people. Yeah, them. Those people you're thinking about right now. Those people that never say thanks for anything, okay? If we are to live with the right motive, we need our buckets filled. If we live with the right attitudes, then we need to be filled properly. And our buckets can only be filled truly, and as they should be, by one person. And I'm now going to go into how to live with that way, which is Psalm 63, and we'll go into that. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. So he's mentioning the word thirst, which is interesting straight away. He's aware that he's got a thirsty soul. He's got an empty bucket right now. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there is no water. And then this, your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. There's your true satisfaction. That's where it comes from, the love of God every single time. We can't change the message because that's the truth. All right? The security that you'll find in the love of God, experiencing, believing the love of God, is permanent. You won't have a leaking bucket in that scenario. It will be constantly rooted in God. And that is where we will find our peace. It's where we will find our joy. It's where we will find everything we need to live life with a true motive. God's love for us is huge. And we keep telling it, and it's worthwhile mentioning it, but he died. He sent Jesus to die on a cross. That's how much he loves us. He sent Jesus to die on a cross that we may come to know him. And we come to have that intimate relationship with him. That's how much he loves each and every single person. But beyond that, he's got a unique place in his heart just for you. Yeah? It would hurt him if you weren't there. That's how much we can affect God. Be aware of the impact that we have on God. Because he is so invested in each and every one of us. Amen? Yeah? But as we rest in his love, we can give out of a secure heart. As we rest in his love, we can give outwards. Jesus was fully aware of this. Before he went into his ministry, at his baptism, he was told by God, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And from that place of security, he gave out. From that place of knowledge that he was loved, he gave out. Now, Jesus had to know it. If Jesus had to know it, I reckon we do too. I don't think it's just one of those things we go, yeah, I know he loves me, now I'm off. It's a place of continual refreshing. It's a place where we continually come back to that. I need to just remember. I need to come back to constantly believing and experiencing the love of God. Because if Jesus kept on spending time with the Father, I'm guessing I need to too. Amen? I'm just copying what he does. But then that's not a bad attitude, is it? Ephesians 3, 16 to 19 says the following, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, oh, would you look at that? Now we're rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know, to experience, that is, that's that what the word know means there, to experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. There's a lot there. Rooted in God's love. So it's where we're rooted in God's love where we find our true nourishment. It's not seeking after anything else. It's knowing that we are and have a place in God where we can draw on him all the time. A place in God where he's given to you, where he is constantly there. There's nothing that separates us from his love. Amen? There's nothing that gets in the way anymore. So we are constantly, we can constantly draw on God's love. We can constantly draw and effectively live in such a way that we can be secure in him. So I was looking for a great analogy. We've had leaking buckets, and that's great. But if you listened and talked to any of my family, I was trying to come up with a way to make the leaking bucket not leak anymore. And we were really struggling with our analogies. So in the end, we just went with the tree. So you just put the tree, because a tree is rooted, isn't it? I was just trying to get roots down from a bucket, but it didn't really work, apparently. So everyone, they voted me down with roots down. So a tree roots down. A tree is rooted. It is rooted in the love of God. You can smile. Yay. Oh, come on, more than that. It is rooted down. So this is what happens. It is rooted down in God, we'll say on this. This is your analogy. This is who you are. You're rooted in God's love. All right? And rooted in God's love, you're secure. Rooted in God's love, you can bear fruit. Ooh, interesting. Okay? Rooted in God, therefore, you are in a much stronger place. And there is a massive, 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 brilliant thing that comes out of this. Because it is literally a choice between relentlessly pursuing our joy, our security, our satisfaction into a leaking bucket, or it's being rooted permanently. It's gone now, but being rooted permanently in the love of God that will always be there for us and always replenishing absolutely everything we need. Yep. Okay. It's a choice that we're being filled with chasing after man's approval again and again and again, or root down in the love of God and to live for his glory. That is it. That is all that it is. I've made it sound so simple. But it is a journey, isn't it? Yeah, it's not over. I mean, unless you're all perfect. You all look perfect from here. So I'm guessing you sorted this out. But as we draw on the love of God, as we experience his love for us, we are honestly, we're truly filled. So much so, the more you fill yourself on the love of God, the less you'll need the approval of others. Because let's be honest, we all like the approval of others every now and again, don't we? Yeah? But we won't need it as the more we're filled with God's love. The more you go out knowing you're loved by him, the more you go out and experience his love for yourself, the more you've filled yourself again and again and again with the love of God, the less you will need others to say thank you for that. The less you will need others to say well done. The more robust and resilient you'll be against criticism. That's a win, isn't it? Yeah. Because it worked, thank you. Got a couple of people. But it's a win, yeah. The more full of the love of God you are, the less people's opinions actually matter in that respect, all right? And it is knowing our call, and it's knowing what God's got for us that helps us to do that. And as a result, we make choices out of a desire to please God rather than gain the approval of others. We do good, but not to get people's well done. We do good so that God is glorified. Now, I've told this story a couple of times, but it's worth saying it again at this point because it's ideal for this preach. When I first started preaching, I can't remember how many I'd done. I'd done a few, and everyone applauded at the end and said, oh, it's very good. Very good. You did a really good job. Very, very, really good. And it was great. It made me feel great on the inside. It was like, wait, this is really nice. I love preaching. I love preaching me. I really enjoy it. And I kept on doing it because it made me feel nice. And then I went to preach this one time, and nobody said anything at the end. Now, I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again. People in church are nice. They're polite. So if you do a really good preach, then it's amazing. If you do a sound preach, it was good. If you do an average preach, thanks for that, it was good. If you do a poor preach, people will go. People might say something to you, they might not, depending on how they feel at the time. Nobody said anything. This was the first time anybody said anything at all. Worse than that, one person gave me a death star at the end. A death star? A death stare at the end. A death star would have been nicer. A death stare. So I just went past this particular person who always gave me feedback and just looked at me as if I'd just come round his house and stamped on all his kids' toys. I was like, was it really that bad? No one said anything at all. And it really hit me. It really hit me hard. I wasn't asked to preach for ages as well, actually. It's interesting, isn't it? Anyway, there you go. Moving on. So that was this really happened. So we were leading a youth ministry at the time. We did a monthly youth meeting with a few of the churches. I was down to preach every so often there. I pulled myself off the rotor there. I didn't want to preach. I just didn't want to touch it anymore. It hurt. Does that make sense? It's not nice, is it, when people... So anyway, but God had a word with me at this. God really did a work in me, I would say, at this particular point. Because what took place in that season where I wasn't preaching was I got right with God on it. Because he said, Christian, are you doing this so that people are pleased? Are you doing this that people approve? Are you doing this that people give you a round of applause? Are you doing this so that everyone thinks you're great? Or are you doing this for my glory? Are you doing this so that people's relationships with me grow? Are you doing this so that people move on with God? Are you doing this so that people grow in their relationship and their walk with me? And I had to get that right first before I could come back. Does that make sense? It had to be the right way around. And the next time, it didn't matter after that what happened, whether people said yes or no, and when it was really good, or whether it didn't make any difference to anything now. So Seku comes up. Every time, I've noticed this, by the way, don't think I don't notice. Every time Seku, he gets a round of applause. Way! Well done, Seku, you amazing preacher. I'll get off, no one will say anything. It happens every week. I'm all right with it, honestly, I'm all right. You don't do it now. thank you for not doing it. the point wasn't that. It's just that the point is this, that you don't do it to get glory from man. You do it to get glory. You get to get glory from God in the future. But more than anything, my eyes are fixed on your own relationships with God. Yep. I pray for every single one of you that your relationship with God goes further and deeper than ever before. Yes, I hope that through this preach, that God is glorified again and again and again in what you do. Yes, that's got to be the motive. Because if it's not the motive, then all I want is just you guys to think I'm amazing. And that's really bad. Yes. It's usually, and I'll not lie to you, every one of us is on a journey, so I'm sure there's areas that still need to be mended and fixed. No one's ever totally there. But that was just an interesting incident which happened within my journey with all of this. And I think that for all of us, there are areas in our life where you know if you're criticized or whether people don't say thank you, that it really gets to you. And it's worth bringing God in on that. And saying, God, get me through that. What is it that I'm seeking in that situation? What is it that I want out of this situation? Because really, all I should want is that your name is glorified. All I should want is that your name is lifted high. And it's all right to get frustrated with stuff, but then just let God in on every area that frustrates you. Let God in on every area where you're feeling like it's not quite right. And God will speak. And dear me, when he spoke about the preaching thing, I never felt freer. I never felt freer after that. Because now I sit down afterwards and I'll literally ask God how it went. And that's the only feedback. I'll ask Angie as well, because she's... frighteningly honest. But, you get the idea of all of this. Anyway, it gets better. That verse gets better. I don't know if you can put up Ephesians 3 again there, Dawn. But that verse gets better because if you follow on to that verse, it doesn't just talk about the love of God making us pure on the inside and strengthening us and giving us nourishment. It also says that... have you got it? Yes. It talks about, a little bit further on, it talks about us being filled with the fullness of God. Now that's a promise. Being filled with all the power, all the fullness that God actually has. As we root down in God's love, one of the fruits of that is that the power of God flows through you. Now that's an exciting thing that a bucket which has got holes in it will never ever be able to do. All right? This is very, very good. As has already been said, our vision is to intentionally build community and to intentionally transform community. But this can only be done through God's power in us. It can't be done any other way. It's got to be done where God is flowing through us. And I was looking at a lot of the stories in the Gospels recently where Jesus stepped out in faith, where Jesus healed others, it was by the power of God. And where that took place, people glorified God. Yes. So people, Jesus comes along, he prays for the man who's paralyzed and laid down through a ceiling. And the story says he heals him and then the people glorified God. Jesus pointed to God as he through his power. Amen? Yeah. So he did things on the planet when he came. He brought the power of God onto the planet and people went and glorified God straight away. They saw God in Jesus. They saw, well, he was God, but they also saw the power of God flowing through him. And they glorified him again and again. They glorified God, that is. Okay? This is the thing, that the power of God rests inside each and every one of us. Amen? The power of God lives inside of us. In my own testimony, I couldn't walk properly when I came into the church. This one time, and this man prayed for it, and my back, and it got healed. I could run out. That's the power of God. That got me saved. Yeah. This is amazing how God can move, how God can flow, how God can do it. So what did I do? The first thing that came out of my mouth was kind of like, well, after being shocked and like, what on earth did you do? Was more along the lines of, well, God's real. And I glorified God for what happened. Yeah. But we can all do this because, and this is what I want to challenge you on now. God is challenging us all to step out in faith. In our own communities. This is going to mean different things to different people right now. But he's challenging us all to step out in faith in our own communities. Many different ways. Speaking to each of us right now. And listening to him. Either now or when you get home. But it could be also, it could be to demonstrate the love of God. To declare the love of God to your neighbors. It could be to pray for friends who are ill. Who need healing. Remember the power that's inside of you. I'm not going to say what it is and what it isn't. But listen to God because he's prompting every single one of us right now to step out in faith. To step out in faith and see him move in power. See him move in power. Because as God is seen moving in power in your communities, his name will be glorified. Amen? And that there is something as a church I'd like to do more of myself personally, but I'd like as a church to see us all. Because it's about seeing people saved and healed. It's about seeing people restored. It's about seeing people discipled, isn't it? Yeah? Isn't that what we want? What's scarier? I'm interested. Here's a question. Asking people, witnessing to people about God or praying for a healing? Praying for a healing? Is that it? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just interested. different people have different things, but I'm interested in knowing. Well, God wants to start pouring his power out into your life through you. Yeah. And be expectant. It's a bit nervous, isn't it? But be expectant to see things start shifting because there's something coming which I'm starting to get wind of right now, which is a good thing, a very, very good thing. And it's the power of God moving through our communities. Amen?